Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, I need you to raise me up.
Sweetie, I'm coming in with the same energy.
I need you to raise me up. I was even like, do I fake it today? Do I just try to fake it? Because does anybody want this?
You know, I'm so relieved. I actually, a couple things. I want you to know I almost texted you 10 times this morning saying, we got to punt. We got to push.
That's how I felt. I was like, do I just need to like spend the morning like scrubbing my cabinets with a vinegar mixture and binging Gilded Age while I do that?
That sounds like a goddamn dream. So many things happened. Like, I actually, you're not going to believe who I almost asked to replace me this morning.
If it's Paul, I would have fucking ran.
It's Paul Scheer.
You know what, actually? Surprise me with that 1 week, because
okay.
Here's the thing about Paul that, I mean, we've made him a villain on this show, and I think every good show needs a villain.
And yeah, what kind of narrative do you have? Like, what? How can you tell a story?
You need a bad guy, or as Bibi made a speech, why do we call them bad guys? Let's call them bad people, because it's much more fun to play the bad person.
Always.
In a show. I love that she already knows that. But Paul is very, he reads almost as many self-help books as me. And Paul can go very deep.
Oh, yeah.
He can go very deep. So,
and
yeah,
he just had a pep in his step this morning. And
that I couldn't meet him with. I'm really glad you didn't bring him on.
Well, he just, I felt like, it's so funny. Maybe I am a witch after all. And I know no one wants to hear about like how witchy white women feel they are. But I did sense that there was a heaviness. There's a heaviness to this week. I mean, let's just be honest. Yeah. You know, there's a war happening. It's real and it's happening and it's very heavy. There's a heaviness has settled in.
Yeah. There is. It's vibrational for sure.
Yeah.
Oh God, someone made me laugh so hard because I was somewhere and people were talking about their self-care and their hobbies. And I overheard somebody say, I shouldn't be laughing. Everyone has their own things and I don't judge, but she said, I'm really getting back to some of my witchcraft. And that's been feeling really good to me. And I texted my other friend, Joe, my best friend, Brandy's husband, who also consumes as many self-help books as Paul and I. And he said, I get it. There's something comforting about hauling out the cauldron from your garage and just getting back to basics.
Yeah.
And I think actually that is my theme today, which is that consistency for children is so huge, and it also is for us as adults. And I just feel like that has been really robbed from us these last, I mean, it's like ridiculous to even say that because it's just like a given. The sands keep shifting under our feet, and it makes us feel very destabilized and very vulnerable. All you can do is be there and provide a safe space. And I keep, you know, Michelle Kenny, who I've been working with, she keeps saying that to me, like, life is struggle. Childhood is hard. The only thing you can do, and it is everything, is be validating. Is be validating and be like, you're safe here. Because, and that's it. And struggle shouldn't be, you shouldn't try to avoid it. I mean, that's Buddhism, right?
Yep.
Because life is struggle. Life is
hard.
I mean,
I will tell you, I was trying to explain to Gus the other day, I have this like vivid memory of being in third grade, and I had a very best friend, and her name was Susan. Mm-hmm. And maybe I've talked about this before, but
no, I've never heard Susan's name. I can't believe that.
She was my very best friend, and I loved her. Susan. And I remember my mom used to tell a story of how, like, the first time I went to her house, I had written her address on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to see her, like, the next Sunday or whatever it was planned for.
Yeah.
And I held that little note.
Yeah. It disintegrated.
It still disintegrated like I was. And I had, as a girl, I had a young girl, like, I would fall in love with my best friends.
Me too. That has stopped.
We're doing a podcast together right now. But it was this, like, almost painful type of, like,
love. Yes.
That where I would, like, think about them, think about their rooms, think about their stuff, think about their toys. Like, I was just...
Me too. Obsessed. I felt so hard
with them. I would fall in love.
Yes.
With my best friends and my girlfriends.
I wanted to eat them.
Yes. Absolutely. I
wanted to eat them.
Yeah.
Be with them all the time.
All the time.
I remember sleepovers and I'd be like, I'm perfectly happy right now because my best friend is here and I can hear them breathing. Yes. I wish I could just be with my best friend all the time and she could sleep in my room and maybe even my bed.
Oh, I never got enough of them. I was never satiated, you know, and I was really like obsessed with them in like the most beautiful, like girlish way. Very Anne of Green Gables, you know, very Anne and
Diana.
Diana. It was very much so. I was Anne. And Deep Divers, I can't believe we haven't really talked about Anne of Green Gables and what she means to both Jessica and I, but I've never had the experience of connecting to a character like I did Anne of Green Gables. And seeing her obsession with Diana Barry and her, you know, writing, the two of them, she would just like read poems to Diana Barry and weep. And like, that's
and
how
clip
I
her
felt.
Hair. And Diana was even like, this is a lot. And I've always, oh, my
Diana
best friends,
had a little bit more self-restraint.
Until
but
I
Diana had limitations too, you know, on what, look at who Diana ended up marrying.
Roly-poly Fred Wright.
Yeah. So.
Well, her mother didn't let her study for Queens College. I mean,
I'll never forgive that.
That was a huge blow.
I know.
Now, it's interesting because two Annes don't often find each other. Like, two Annes don't always make a right. And it hasn't been till I've become a grown woman that obviously I have many Annes in my life.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like you and I being out at the same time.
It's too much.
You know, it's too much. So they can cancel each other out.
They can, but God, don't you feel understood by another Anne?
Oh, God, yes. But Susan was my Diana Barry.
Yeah.
And Emily, you know, I have this like memory of her. And she had a carpeted bedroom and, you know, there were just things. And there was a level of like caretaking in other kids' homes. I mean, I've talked about this before. Yeah. And a level of like kind of order that I craved, that I didn't feel like I had in my house.
Yeah.
And so I was both obsessed with her, but also like obsessed with her cupboards and snack closet and like the availability
or the fact that
of like
Friday night was kielbasa night.
Yes, exactly. Like
kielbasa
and her mother was,
night.
Her mother was so lovely. And she had a little brother who was a baby. You know, I just like, I loved being there. And they were a very, very nice family. And anyway, long story short, I, in third grade, one day, why is this going to make me cry?
I'm already crying.
I'm crying. This episode may not be released. Susan announced with like no warning that she did not want to be my friend anymore.
I can't take this. I can't take this.
Oh, I'm crying. Too now. I don't know.
It's too hard when your little hearts are so young. It's so, and kids can be so cruel. It's too much.
I know, I'm sorry. This might is be too so much with crazy. Me right now, but
it's so crazy what's happening.
But I was got it.
Like, why and why? That's the thing, is like certain HSPs, that we don't do that kind of shit to kids, like other kids. Oh, like, because we know what it feels like to have it happen to us.
And that is the thing, like, you know, I do feel really confident in, like, I don't know, my kids, I don't think it would ever occur to them to say that to another child. But here's what I will say. She said it to me, and I, like almost blacked out, you know. I remember where I was, and I walked away, and I thought to myself, and here's where, you know, my kind of Scorpio instincts are.
Yeah.
And I just thought, she's dead to me.
This is how different we are.
So then,
this is how different we are.
Oh my God, Jessica. And she was.
That was the turn I didn't see coming.
She's dead to me. No, oh, not my only God. That, but I come home and her family was lovely and Susan was lovely. And this is where I feel badly. Like, so, and then my mom caught wind of the fact that Susan, you know, because again, that piece of paper where I still remember her address.
I know.
Where I held that and made sure my mom knew what time we were supposed to be there. And like, I was so obsessed with this the first time I went into her home. And so anyway, long story short, my mom finds out about this because I don't say anything to my mom. I hold this fucking in a vault. And then one day my mom comes home from Leonardo's, the hairdresser.
And the only gay man in the village.
Yes. And I will tell this story another week of what happened after my mom left Leonardo after 20 years with him.
Well, my mother had her hair almost singed off by Frank and kept going. I'm like, why are we going back to Frank? He would forget. Well, he would forget you were under the dryer. He would forget.
Listen, Leonardo had also destroyed my mom's color a number of times. And then she finally made the decision to leave him. And like, we spent the rest of her living years were spent, because he was a fixture in our town, like hiding from him.
You don't fuck with Frank. Stuff. That was the thing. And like, you did not fuck with Frank.
Yeah.
Although he did give me one of the nicest compliments. I said, Frank, thank you so much for this beautiful blonde. He was the first person that told me I could be blonde.
Wow.
And he said, honey, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit. You know, he needed a good palate to work with. And of mine course. Lifted well. I'm not saying I had great hair at the time. I just,
but the
mine
color
lifted. It lifted.
How wonderful. And it's so you. I mean, I can't even imagine. And honestly, like, I will always give Frank that.
And I will too. And that's, and I understood my mother had to stay, and maybe she sacrificed for my blonde. Maybe she did.
And
I appreciate that.
A mother's love, you know. Listen, so anyway, my mother comes back from Leonardo's and she said, I ran into Susan's mom. I was sitting next to her. I had no idea that you had a falling out. And I said, oh, yeah. And again, this is the other pain of me as a child, which was like, I didn't know that there was space for me to share everything.
That's surprising to me, because your mother was so close
to
you girls.
She was. And I could have. I actually could have.
But there are some things you felt almost shameful in a way. It's like,
and Jessica, there's also the fullness of life. There was the, you know, both two working parents, mania, chaos, sports,
three girls,
all of it.
Three girls having all the emotions.
I didn't know. I think I spent time kind of like, you know, I didn't know. I think I wanted to be helpful in my home, you know, whatever. So I didn't know I could share that. Or didn't want to, or whatever. And my mom said, well, you know, I was really, really upset to hear this. Because she was very friendly with Susan's mom, who was a lovely woman.
Of course.
And she said, you know, Susan's mom and I have organized a pizza party on Friday night for you and Susan. And this was in the days of TGIF.
Oh,
she goes,
God.
So you are going to go over to Susan's house on Friday. They want to have you over for pizza.
Oh, God. Oh, God. No. Oh, my God. I feel like sick.
Okay. So then I...
Oh, God.
The whole week. I mean, I'm at school. Susan's in class. And I'm just, like, staring at her.
With those husky
and
eyes.
And she's sort of, like, giving me, like, she knows we're going to have this pizza night. And I see her looking at me, like, is there an opening, you know, we're going to have? And she's being really friendly.
Oh.
And I know I have to go over for pizza. My mom drops me off. And Mrs. Montague's so happy to see me. We put on Full House. You know, whatever came next, I don't remember. Right. Right. It's the whole lineup.
Could have been the Disney special. You know, remember they used to do those Friday night Disney specials.
Yes.
Yeah, the movies. Yeah.
We're having pizza. I'm in her bedroom. I'm playing with her baby brother. And I fucking faked it. And I said, bye, you guys. So great to see you.
But inside,
her mom said, you know, I'm so happy, June. Like, we really missed you. And I'm so happy you girls could figure this out. I said, absolutely. And I never spoke to her. I never spoke to her again.
But June, that is such a strong sense of self. Because I will tell you, as a child, I would have spent the next 10 years in a campaign trying to get her back.
But here's where my pain. Okay, so I
because it would have been more important to me than my self-respect.
But I'm also like, why was I a mafia boss? Like, why?
Because you had a strong core, June.
But I'm also like, Susan made a mistake, and I didn't offer her any grace. Not one. I never spoke to her again, Jess.
I understand.
I was like, you will never. No, I didn't campaign for. I didn't.
No, you didn't. I didn't do any. You didn't have a smear campaign.
Not at all. No. I was just like, I will never let you in again. After the trauma that was unprovoked.
And you're right. There was a middle ground. Not me going, Susan, please like me no matter what it means to me. And do it again. Do it over and over again. My dear, dear, sweet best friend in elementary school, I jettisoned for the popular girl who won best looking, which what the fuck is going on if in seventh grade
best
you
looking?
Vote best looking, best personality?
Oh, that I do think I won something, so it's hard for me to.
I didn't. Most liked, which Kelly,
talented.
Of course, Kelly won most liked because everybody liked Kelly. The popular girls, the not popular girls, the girls with problems. I mean, everybody liked Kelly. But I jettisoned them all in such a harsh way because I thought, I know how this fucking world works. I know how this world works. You need to be popular or you are going to be struggling. And so I said, the only way is I need a ladder. I need a step ladder. And... Yeah, it's terrible. I don't feel good about this.
I want to cry again.
I was so Machiavellian, but I felt so like, oh God, I'm going to get hurt if I don't get on the right side of things here. Okay? If I don't get on the right, it was like Washington, D.C. It was like you needed to be aligned with the right senators to like survive and get reelected. And I got it. I got it. Okay? And I'm like, I'm going to fake it. I didn't even have anything in common. I still wanted to be doing Whitney Houston dance routines in this my real best friend's basement that I would say, maybe we'll charge for this. Maybe we'll get the neighborhood in to see us perform. How will I know, you know, if he really loves me and we'll make some money and we'll go to Great Adventure. Like, that's what I thought. But I jettisoned her and I'll never forget. We were on our bus ride home from seeing Les Mis. Back the final row in the back because we went from school for school. And that was the only thing this very strange drama teacher in seventh grade did was bring us to see every show. And that was Phantom. That was Les Mis. That was Chorus Line. That was Cats. That was the golden age of Broadway. And I saw all of it from the final row. So I got a migraine because I was crying so hard. And also I couldn't quite see the people because I was needing glasses at the time and I wouldn't wear them because I look like Sally Jesse Raphael. But we were on the bus ride home and she just looked out the window and she said, why don't you want to be my friend anymore? And she just wept. As the dying light of winter, as we pulled through the Holland Tunnel and out into New Jersey, she just wept silently. And I just sat there not knowing what to do and like knowing that like I would still leave her. And I still feel guilt about this.
Oh my God, Jessica.
I know where she is. I looked her up.
Can we reach out to her?
What do we say? That's insane. What do you say?
Well, listen, I don't think it's ever too late.
Really?
Oh no, I don't think it's ever too late. I don't think so. No.
I don't know if people want my friend Kristen. One time I found a locked trunk where I'd put all of the breakup letters I've ever received. I locked them in a trunk, in a black trunk with a lock that you would put on a locker. One of those twist, you know. And I called Kristen in like a panic and I was like, I gotta call up all these people. I gotta say I'm sorry for my behaviors. And she was like, nobody wants to hear from the locked trunk lady. They're not looking at a locked trunk right
Listen,
now. Don't blow their worlds up with your craziness.
I disagree. But that's, you know, I feel like it's never too late to make amends. It's never too late. Now, I think it's also important to center like that person, you know, and not make it about your own experience. Yeah, but to just offer. And I also think phone calls are tricky because sometimes I think in a phone call, you're putting the pressure. There's a lot of pressure on that other
person. It's not a phone call. You got to write it. No.
But I think that. And I have had a friend who years later apologized for something and it meant a great deal to me.
I love that idea.
You know what?
It was healing. I'm going to do it. She ended up going to boarding school and I never saw her again. And actually it was Bibi who said, why am I sharing this shit with Bibi? I mean, I swear to God, she's going to write a feature film about my childhood. She likes, you know, because they know you. They want to hear every detail. Where were you sitting? What was the bus like? Was it winter? Was it summer? But she said, why don't you reach out to her and say you're sorry? That's so beautiful. Life is painful and hard. And at any stage, you know, we think like, oh, those are just childhood feelings. But like they're as big as the feelings we have now. If we were to get a divorce or break up with our best friend now, it would feel that painful, if not more so, because you've never felt it before. And it is your whole world.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, I think also there was a part of me as a girl, as a young girl, who one of the reasons why I fell so hard for my friends was because I think I intuitively knew that. Or I was like very nervous and scared of like the boys, you know? Yeah. And so there was this sort of like survival mechanism in place and this feeling of like power and strength in those relationships.
Numbers,
that were not just like, oh, I enjoy them and I love them. You know, I did, but it was also like, I need them to survive.
They're your armor. They're your emotional bodyguard.
Yeah.
For all things. I transferred in third grade and that's when someone said, what's up with your dead tooth? Remember, I had that dead tooth.
And what was up with it?
We'd have to ask my mother. I'm sure that it wasn't able to be fixed at that time because I think those teeth are still sort of rounding out and you can't like bond. It had
teeth are still falling. Teeth are still settling in.
It had chipped. There was a piece of the enamel that had chipped off, and it was brown. It looked like I had a shit stain on my tooth.
Oh my God, Jess!
You know, I was working against a lot of things. Again, I owe my career to it. Truly, you are not an artist unless you feel on the outside, and you don't feel you can see things that are going on. And you can feel what it feels like to be Susan and what it feels like to be that other kid who's sitting alone. You feel it.
Yes, because here's the thing. And this is why I do believe that, like, people should not be frozen in a moment because, you know, and that there, it's never too late to heal.
Yeah.
For you also, like, you deserve healing from that moment too. And so does your friend. You know, who wept as you sat there.
I guess just watched her.
Like, I don't remember saying anything. Because I was like, the die, not to bring back the mafia metaphor, but like the die had been cast. Like, I'd already ordered that hit. Do you know what I'm saying? Like Tony has to sit with that. Like, while someone else is completing the hit, he's having pasta.
Dinner. But like,
and he's like, and that's being carried out. You know, somebody's getting hurt and he's like getting, he's with his mistress, like he has to go on, like he can't reverse it. You can't reverse a hit. Like it's happened. Okay. You gotta be talk about responsibility. He's ordering those things and he has to like stand by that. Right?
Oh my God, Jess. Oh my God. Because here's the thing, like, I feel about Susan now, and this is why I have a lot of sympathy, is also, like, she was a child who said something in a moment that felt right to her and was maybe like, hey, I want to meet other people. Like, sure.
Maybe it was too much for her. We have been too much for people.
Yes, maybe I was too much for her. That's okay. And that was okay. And it was also okay that she, you know, made a mistake. It was also okay. And I'm like, God damn it, June. Like, why couldn't I extend? And the how fake I was at that pizza party that was hosted just as a sort of like restorative, you know.
Well, there you
and I could barely ever look at her. Well, yeah. It was the best performance I've ever given. And I could never look at her mom again, that nice woman who was so. I remember my mom coming to the door and my mom and her mom standing on the porch, like so happy that us girls were back together again. And I was watching them like, little do they fucking know.
Well, I know my mother had to stand by and watch me say goodbye to this not my best self. And she had to stand by and watch it happen. And I know she didn't approve. Guess what then happened with the person I jettisoned her for?
What?
She said, so I became her best friend, which did bump me up, even though not enough. Okay, I still couldn't get a boyfriend. It really was about like trying to get a boy. I always wanted, you know, I wanted to get that. Get into that.
Sure.
So obviously had an overactive sex drive at that point. Nobody wanted me. Nobody. Because it is starting in second grade. People are having crushes on each other. I can hear BB. They're all talking about it.
It's Gus too. Yep.
And she's like, well, you wouldn't understand, Dama, because nobody had a crush on you. And I'm like, I know. That's true. I've told her that. I don't understand what that was like because nobody needed that from me. You know, on Valentine's Day, I wasn't being given the gigantic, oversized Hershey's Kiss.
Right.
Or me neither. Watch.
Yeah, me neither.
Nobody got me a swatch. That was a crazy move that this kid Rich gave someone a swatch.
That is.
The swatch watch.
That must have sent real, you know.
Well, it was crazy. Whose mother buys a swatch watch? It was $45 at that point or something with the interchangeable bands, you know.
Well, you know, Paul's mom did that for.
Yes. Like one of my best stories.
I was actually thinking of his mom because, you know, when you describe sitting there and watching your dear friend weep on the bus as the sun set behind her.
Winter, New Jersey.
Exactly
like,
there ain't
no
that
leaves,
feeling.
You
honey.
Know, yeah, I'm in like a very scratchy camel hair coat
because
my mom made me wear like the flats and the dress for the theater.
Yes.
We dressed for the theater.
Yep.
So we're probably wearing a kilt or something.
Tights. Thick, opaque tights. Yeah. So I remember, so at our wedding, I don't think you were there the night before our wedding. You were there
on my
wedding day. But the night before, we had, you know, this like show.
Cabaret.
That Owen Burke hosted. And everybody got to do a bit. And Paul's mom played a song. and sat on the edge of the stage, like knees touching our knees, and just simply played the song and stared at Paul and wept.
I get that.
So you could probably
honestly, like,
relate. We just had to look at her.
Yeah. You know, and I, really, and you and I, and when, by the way, when you do that to Gus, I'm going to say, remember,
oh, we thought true.
That was too much.
That's true.
Like when we somehow commandeer the cabaret and make it all about, yeah, you know, our
and the
feelings.
Song was like something she had found on YouTube, and it's even hard to describe because it was like a song you've never heard before.
Was it like
trucks to big boy pants?
Yeah,
from, you know, like,
yeah,
my little son, you know,
yes,
you are now a man.
Yeah. Oh. It's like Pooh Corner, back to Pooh Corner. Yes,
but horrible.
Yeah, it didn't even go Loggins. Yeah, he didn't go Carole King or Carly Simon.
No. Again, like, you have to be on YouTube, like, searching I don't know what to find this. And it was clearly also like a translation. It was insane. But anyway, just to go back to that for a second, Jess, I do think that offering amends at any point is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just also just want to finish
with
the
no
story.
Expectation. Oh, I'm so sorry. I
Let
didn't
me just finish what happened.
I'm so sorry. Of course.
Let me finish
I
what
have
happened.
COVID brain. Yes.
And I would like the amends to come from this person. So let's hope.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, because I get mine.
Much okay.
Like the mafia, like, I get mine in the end of this story. So I'm living on Easy Street, but I know that, like, I'm not safe. Nobody's safe with this girl. And she says to me one day,
terrible feeling.
Let's do something. Let's do something crazy.
I'm so scared.
Let's pretend that we're in a big fight.
Oh, Jess.
We'll tell everybody
where this is going.
That we're in a big fight, and we'll pretend that we are, and we won't talk to each other. And we'll see if everyone believes it, because we're such close friends. Let's see if we can get them to believe it. And so we did that. And then she told everybody it was real and turned everybody against me.
Jess.
This is like the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones. I only saw a clip of it on YouTube. It haunted me for the rest of my life. But yeah, and I remember coming home.
Because this isn't even like a dignified hit where they take people out and like put them in their cars and those people know they're about to die.
It wasn't like a Fredo thing, like,
no,
let's go for a rowboat.
Them, like, yeah, and it's one single shot to the back of the head and that's it. You
oh,
know,
no, this was like the whole family
town
turned
square.
On
me. Yeah.
And I remember coming home and I remember exactly my bedroom and I just sobbed on my bed. And I said, Dad, it's all over. Like,
it's over. It's a wrap.
Over. Like, it's a wrap. And I remember my dad just sitting there with me on the edge of the bed. He didn't even say, I don't even think he had to say anything. It wasn't like, don't worry about it. Or no, he just sat there with me and let me sob till he probably got another migraine. And then I had to go to school that next day and rebuild.
Now, did you at that moment?
No, I'm on
think-
television now, bitch.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Okay, sweetie.
I aging backwards, bitch.
Okay, honey.
I be aging backwards, bitch.
You look better than ever, sweetie.
Okay,
you look
honey.
Better than ever.
I have access to the right clothes, my friend.
Yep. And the right dermatologist. Okay. Good luck on Yelp.
Good luck with whatever Lorenzo you got to hobble into, honey. Because I got Tracy Cunningham, bitch. Okay.
Honestly, I do not have any. I know I said a grace for Susan. I do not have any grace for this woman. I really don't.
Nor do I. My mother knew that hit was coming too. She had to sit by and watch it. because I wouldn't listen to anything she said. That's the truth. Like any kind of advice we give kids, like they can't take it in. They can't take in your 45-year-old advice. That's what Michelle mm-hmm. said. All that will do is make them stop sharing with you. They only want your validation. They do not, and they want your, I'm so sorry, that's so hard. They do not want your advice. Because that's part of childhood and life, is you have to try out the wrong thing and you got to get burned to not do it again. God knows I did not do that again. If Paul comes in here right now during this emotional moment,
let me just take a picture.
Take
of
your
what he
energy
came in looking like.
I just said really nice things about him too.
I know, and this is what. Can you see this?
Oh, what the fuck is that? Is that a mask?
He put on one of the kids' masks, and he let me fall.
Well, he looks like Howard the Duck.
He does look like Howard the Duck. Anyway, Jess, I don't know what I wanted to say. First of all, at the point where you a hit was taken out on you,
yeah.
did you think to go back to that friend?
As I
you
said,
had taken a hit out on?
Once a hit's been taken.
So you couldn't go back
can't
to
reverse.
Her.
You no.
couldn't go back to her.
I didn't think it was an option. And that's actually probably because at that point, your brain can't. And that's why I think you were so black and white with Susan. I think we're very black and white in that age. We don't understand the complexities that yeah. you can say you're sorry, mend things. I mean, with my very best friends, we've had moments. And as an adult, we've yeah. had moments that we've had to work through. Sometimes they were a year long mm-hmm. after graduation, you know, and it makes us stronger for it. And we can talk about it now and remember that time. But then you didn't know that.
No, that wasn't available.
Yeah, there was no going back. I had to rebuild.
Well,
I had to rebuild from like a shattered landscape.
Yeah, God. Well, I'm proud of you that you did. And look at where you are now.
Yeah, well, when you cut off a lizard's leg.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
It grows back stronger.
That's right. And, you know, it's very true.
I want to say I'm sorry to the deep divers. I said that I'm aging backward. I mean, I know that.
You are.
I mean,
we can't apologize for that. We can't.
Well,
we look better than ever.
Part of it, though, Jude, is like, it took me so long to understand how to look. You know, like, I'm working off a bob. I'm working off a dead tooth. So, like, you have to understand that's the energy I'm coming with. I'm not coming with queen energy necessarily. I'm coming from, like, look how far I've come.
And you have. And it is remarkable to see that. It's not just you and I. Like, I want to tell you, all of our girlfriends, I mean, I would love to spend the rest of this podcast just talking about Danielle's New York City trip that she just took, Danielle Schneider.
I wrote.
And what she
I wrote,
looked like
what
and what
did
she
I
was
write
wearing.
Her. I wrote her yesterday. I was like, I don't understand even the words.
She looked fucking hot.
She looked, so oh, she's God. Like the perfect kind of tan because she has that kind of skin tone that's yeah. just like luminous. And then her hair was sunny. And then she was in hot pink.
Ooh,
she was in
so
hot pink
good.
Shift. Her
yep.
boobs looked like a Dolce & Gabbana ad. They yep. were Gabbana. How I'd say it? Dolce & Gabbana. They were lifted.
Mm-hmm.
They were forward, but still classy. Mm-hmm. She had a matching. Those were two different. That was a Staub. Is that I'm saying it right? Staub
no
dress. Staub. And a Zara blazer.
Oh, God. It was so good. It was so good. So it's like I don't know what to tell people. It's not just you and I who are looking better with every passing year. It is confusing for a lot of folks, I think. It is. It is. But we join a tribe of women who are honestly like turning it up as they enter their 40s and are in their 40s.
Well, I'm going to say this.
I don't know what to say. The deep divers.
How grateful. I know I keep saying this, but like, I got to tell you, I had all these deep divers writing me, hey, some thoughts about fake eyelashes. Like, have you considered extensions? Hey, another one said, listen, I got into the false eyelash game, but then they rip out. Sometimes they can rip out your natural eyelash.
I know. I mean, I do hope you've talked to Morgan Walsh because I know she's had her own journey with extensions and yeah.
Well, no, it was more the strips. So she just said, just don't wear them all the time.
All the time.
Okay. Because we don't want to rip out just for special occasions. And I think they're probably right. But what I would say about the deep divers, because I just feel such kinship with them, is I feel like we're all in this delicious age of owning ourselves, our authenticity, our truest self. Is there anything sexier about a person sitting in their most authentic juices?
Oh my God.
Stewing in them. Like a balsamic vinegar that's aged.
It's so true, Jess.
Drizzled. Drizzled over a cedar plank salmon. You know, just like you're just in your. And so, yes, we've all had our journeys here
to get there.
But God damn it, we looking good.
Better than ever. And I say that this isn't deep divers, please. No, this isn't like pop feminism. Like, you go, girl. Mm-mm, like, mm-mm. It just isn't. It just isn't. This is just, these are facts, you know?
Facts and figures.
This is data. These are data points. They're not disputable.
No, and also when I saw Danielle and Casey on Drew Barrymore. And Casey, I want to point out, not only does she look great, and I loved it. First, when she said, I cut my hair, I was like, what are you talking about? Those bangs are going to have a shorter hair. It looks so chic. She slid off. I don't know if you saw. She slid. They surprised Drew. Who, God, is she not our speed? Is she not so our much. Cup of tea? Okay.
Talk about someone like hitting their stride.
Whoa!
Doing exactly. And here's this thing about the Drew Barrymore show. Like, I just, the amount of fun she's having.
And that's
the amount
what
of
I'm
joy,
saying.
I can't take my eyes off of it. I'm like, this woman is just.
It's electric.
Her body is full of joy. It's so beautiful to see. She's
radiating light. Yeah. Everything, the colors. Yeah. Her outfits, everything about it is exactly what we were just talking about. Someone sitting in their authentic self and just celebrating it. But Casey slid off. They surprised Drew with Penn, what's his name, Bagley?
Favorite. I don't know how to pronounce that, yeah.
The actor that is her favorite crush or whatever. I don't know exactly what the connection was, but they surprised her with it. Danielle and Casey did. And Casey, in shock, slid off. Yeah, the front of the desk, like a harbor seal. First, I've never. So, and then I'm like, holy shit. Our two of our best friends are living like their real selves.
Publicly, quite publicly.
National television live, you know?
I know. It's so beautiful to see. And God, I know. I feel the same, Jess. I feel like. It's only getting better. You know, we're all only getting better. And in a way where there's not really a template. I don't see this every day. I don't. I'm sorry. I feel like it's hard to say about yourself that, like, I'm inspiring. Like, I'm inspiring myself, you know, but I am. I am. I look to my own self for inspiration.
It is the larger community. Like, even their tablescapes. And I know we said no more scapes. We can't go back to the scapes. But even our tablescapes that they're sharing with us, it's like, these are women. And that divorce party, I can't stop thinking about, congratulations, I'm divorced. It's like, that is like, I'm celebrating like my artistry.
Beautiful.
And to tie it into Sex and the City, and I'm just going to say, I finally binged it. Wow, wow, wow. And I did it on a Tuesday morning. I know you were probably like, what are you? You were recovering from COVID, so you had an excuse to be laying down. But like, it was Tuesday at 10 a.m. and I was supposed to be doing so many other things. And I
know I watch most of And Just Like That on like before noon, strangely. So I totally understood.
I had to stop. I stopped whatever I was doing. I just sat down and I just binged. And everything you said was true. Like, to watch these women who are just, they were already in their own and then they come into it even more. And to watch SJP's face just process these emotions, these complex emotions, beautiful work. And Cynthia Nixon and Kristen Day, all of them.
Beautiful work.
And the that finale is as close to perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
As I've ever.
Beautiful work.
I'm sorry.
You know, I told you, I mean, I think we talked about it before, but the thing that I was obsessed with this reboot or continuation, whatever we're calling it, new chapter, is like this idea of And Just Like That, you know, because in the original, it was so sort of And Just Like That, like New York opens up and you're at a bar and you're with a guy and whatever it is. It was so whimsical and it was so youthful. And then in this series, the idea of And Just Like That was
everything changes. Yeah.
Was fucking life falling out from under you. And I know people listen, the internet like loves to hate the show and whatever. I don't fucking care. But like that idea of taking something that was so hopeful at one point and turning it on its head. And then, but then also the journey of getting back from a shocking event happening that we didn't expect, that we didn't want, that, you know, life can happen that quickly and unexpectedly, and rebuilding, and then also opening up to new possibilities. I just found to be so hopeful.
I felt like they didn't rush her.
No.
I thought it was so smart they let a year go by with her writing at her window because I loved that episode where she's going to put the rings away, but instead she tapes them together and puts them on her finger. And then that great scene with her and Steve when they're painting and she loses them down the drain. If that's not grief, it's like, oh, I'm going to move on. Wait, nope, I'm not ready. I'm going to go on a date. Nope.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful storyline, too, with the teacher.
It was.
Because she wasn't ready. And then that was a hot motherfucking kiss at the end.
Loved it.
He fucking loved it. Dish.
Yes, he is. As soon as I saw him that first episode, I was
I didn't know. I didn't see it coming.
Oh, I was keeping tabs on him.
Oh!
I was keeping tabs on him the whole time.
Because God bless, I didn't want her with that teacher. I couldn't see that. And that's what she said. She said the passion wasn't, it was just lips on my lips. Kiss. It wasn't a...
As Samantha said, it wasn't big. I guess she said that it wasn't big.
Talking about friends having rifts and finding their way back to each other. I didn't know we were ever going to hear from Samantha again. And I fucking loved that she would text her because there were certain things in her life and Carrie's life that only Samantha would understand. And that is what you realize when a best friend dies, is that that specific light goes out. You don't replace that light. You can't. There is only certain things that you can go to that one person for. And when they leave, now, then, fortunately, you realize you can still get to them. Now, instead of texting, I have to reach to the other world. Okay. But
it's a longer journey. Yeah.
I know for a fact she's with BB right now at school. I know for a fact.
I said,
watch over her, please, today. Watch over her. Okay. I can't, you know, she can go where I can't. She can, but she also knows that she has to go through all of this. This is childhood. We can't protect them from everything. But she can go where I can't. She can go behind those fences. And I know she's there, but you know, they know more than us over there. They know more than us. We can't see. We're like, well, why didn't they help me make the different decision? They know the big picture, but we have to go, just like we have to watch our kids go through the struggle, they have to watch us go through the struggle. But they know different. They know that it will be okay. And this is part of the hard thing of life. They're not in it anymore.
That's so beautiful, Jess.
That's a wrap on me.
That's so
I shared my deepest shame of childhood.
That's so beautiful.
I don't know what I said. I was in a fugue state. I just blacked out, like when Susan told me I don't like you anymore.
You know, but I do think, you know, I not to recap this episode because we're still in it.
And just like that, we recap what we just said 5 seconds ago.
But to recap, you know, this is now the beginning of the recap episode. I don't know what to say. I'm exhausted.
I thought you were going to lift me. I really thought, like, okay, I'm going to come in with this energy, but I bet June is like post-COVID. So she got her roots dealt with. You know, she's like, but no, I'm not sorry because I needed to. I don't know why I can only cry in this podcast. I'm not doing much crying outside of it. That's strange. I would have not processed this.
I really think it's powerful that you shared, and I really appreciate that you shared with the Deep Divers that moment of like harming someone else, because I do think that it's really important and that you deserve healing around it, and you don't deserve to be frozen in one moment, you know, and she does too. And like, I just think that's powerful that.
Well, it's easy to share, right? It's easy to share that you got hurt. That's like, because then you get the sympathy and, you know.
Yeah.
But it is really great to realize, like, yeah, it's not like I was walking through life, like, not making the wrong choices. And they're so, yeah, you know, but this makes us who we are. It makes us empathetic people. It does. You've met those people for whom, like, nothing's really happened to them. Yeah. You're like, I don't even know how to speak to you.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know how to speak to you. And you know, Dan always says, like, you always think that everybody else has got it figured out. And I do. I really believe the lies.
They don't. And the truth is, like, I think if you were to reach out to her, because I feel shame. I feel shame about, you know, like how I positioned myself as, like, you know, the Dom in third grade. Like, I feel a lot of shame around that and how punitive I was and hard, like something hardened in me.
Right.
You know,
self-protective.
I'm sad about that for myself and also for her, because she didn't deserve that. And I didn't know how to extend grace or open up to someone hurting me and being sorry. So it's like, I don't know. You're right. It is harder to share those things and to be honest about them. But the truth is, like, when we make amends and say, oh, I want to reach out and tell this person I'm sorry I did that, we can't expect anything back, right?
Oh, no.
It's like that healing has to just be an offering, and knowing, like, that's actually probably going to be the end of the conversation is the offering.
How about when Carrie is chasing Natasha?
Yeah.
That was a really great
scene. Was perfect.
Yep. Where she's like sitting in the coffee shop and she's like, when will this end? You fucking stalking me. And then she extends grace to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
She does, because she's got her own life now. And, you know, the thing is, we're all grown up now. And so all of us have the perspective, you know?
Yeah. And then I'm sure there are hurts and pains that, like, we don't even know about that we've inflicted upon people, and harm that we've inflicted upon people. And regret and shame around that. But like, shame really does need room to transform. I really believe that.
Also to say, because I'm in DBT now, and I just fucking love it. There's nothing I love more than a group therapy group. everybody supporting each other.
That's beautiful.
God, I just suggest it. That's why I'm sure AA feels really good. Mm. But anyway, but their whole philosophy, because it's dialectical, is basically we're always doing the best we can and we can do better.
I love that.
Right. And everybody is. So even you extend that to yourself, but also to everyone else. They're doing the best they can and they can do better. They should do better.
Let's end on that, Jess. I must go to sleep now. And deep divers, thank
you. I'll be in the Gilded Age. I'll be in New York in the turn of the century if anybody needs me.
I'll be with the season finale of Love is Blind, but I will no longer be in these feelings and these thoughts. I gotta end it. I gotta wrap it up. But I appreciate all of you deep divers. I know this was a lot, but I'm not gonna, you know, this is what it is. You know, you might find us in a different place next week. And
oh, you definitely will.
We didn't even get to touch. You definitely will. And we didn't even get to touch on like your China being out and whether you used it or not. Just like the internet right now. Pretty much
it almost broke the internet
when those pictures, those pictures almost broke the internet. And I actually think we might want to have Jessica Chaffin on.
Oh, no, we have to have you. Talk about a lifelong learner.
Oh, God.
She taught me everything I knew about makeup and skincare.
She's just...
You know what? I'm going to tell you that she's... No, listen, she is got a newborn.
I know.
But God damn it, can she tell you about a thread count? Can she tell you about sheets? Can she tell you about an all-white bed? Can she tell you about life?
There's nothing she doesn't know about.
She was like, it was like Eliza Doolittle. She took me on. I slept in her closet. You know that.
Yeah, I do.
Her Harry Potter closet. She used to close the door. Good night. So yeah, you know what? She's our next lifelong learner.
She has so much to offer. And sometimes she's one of those people who I just would like to, I don't even want to be in conversation with. I would love to just witness her in conversation with someone else and just listen, you know? Just
I would say
to her talk.
You and her, you're the two people that I love the weird turns of phrase you have, the way you look at life, and it's totally different. But boy, she's got a lot to offer. So
we
haven't asked her if she wants to come on, but we will. We'll get her.
We need her because I know she had a lot of feelings about your China. I saw her in the comments.
Oh, I knew she did.
She said
Royal Copenhagen.
She said princess.
She knew it.
She knew at first glance what she was looking at. Okay.
Of course.
But I am so glad that China is out.
I have never felt happier. I see it now everywhere I walk in my kitchen. I can see it. Oh, and Gwyneth. Okay. A lot of deep divers sent me. I don't know if it's Architectural Digest, but I will post it on my Instagram. She has all of her blue and white china displayed in her kitchen. Displayed on the racks. A whole wall is blue and white china. It's so hot in her like kind of farmhouse kitchen.
Oh, God, I love it. I love it.
Because
I think I had the same reaction as so many deep divers, which was like, we heard it was blue and white, sounded really lovely. Mm. But seeing it, it was more than we could have even imagined.
It's so delicate.
It was more than we could have imagined. And the deep divers, their comments on my Instagram when I asked to take guesses on what you had wrapped it in.
Underwear. Like all of those
It made me laugh so fucking hard. You all are just the funniest. I was dying, dying reading those comments.
Me too.
They were just so fucking funny. But I'm so glad it's out and free.
What about when I didn't know where the plates were and I panicked? Because you were like, and by the way, had you not texted me to say I want a picture, I wouldn't have gone and gotten them. Because it took a long time. I had to get them. Then I had to like face how I stored them. And then I realized you saw it was like a Staples box. It was, my mother was like, what donut
I saw her comment,
box
she said,
is this?
I said this, I just want your mom to know I said the same thing, which was like, is it in a, were they stored in a donut box?
She was so upset.
Yeah.
But also very encouraging. She's like, good for you to get it out there. She has to do what she can do, you know, with what she's given, with what she's been given. But when I didn't know where the plates were, I panicked because I'm like, did I throw these plates? I didn't know. I was like hyperventilating. And then I found them like in a random closet upstairs. Like now they all live together.
They look so beautiful, Jess.
They're like Toy Story. They must be so happy to be back out and together. like Chip and Mrs. Potts from Beauty and the Beast.
They really did look happy to be amongst the living, you know? Yeah. They looked like they were on purpose and living their best lives. Yeah. And just like living with intention and just fulfilling their destiny. Like they really, they looked right together and they looked like they were with family and in community.
We have lost our goddamn minds. Something has gone wrong with us.
But they did. You can't tell me that picture of all of them together, all of them together, like when it was like big plate, smaller plate, bowl, like teapot, like that picture. It was like, oh, wow. The world is in order.
Yeah.
You know?
And now they're so close to my dining room table, too. I can just throw them out like, hey, let's just have them for tonight. Let's do something special, you know?
But see, I'm going to suggest, I'm going to push back. And again, you know, we'll talk about this another time. I especially want to hear what Jessica Chaffin has to say, but I would encourage you to throw them out all the time.
Well, then I know, but someone said, fuck it, just put them in the dishwasher. Now that my mother's had another heart attack hearing that. But also, how many plates am I washing by hand? Three? How hard is that?
It's too hard, actually. It's too hard. You won't do it. I'll tell you how hard that is. It's too hard.
I'm going to do some Googling if I can put them in the dishwasher. My mother has
Take three and just say, okay, three are going to be dishwashed and we're using them.
Yeah. And then I can always replace them.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. It's a pattern that's been made since the 16th century. I think I'll be able to figure it out.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I like that idea.
All right, deep divers, a lot's been discussed. We'll see how Jessica's doing with those plates next week. And we just love you so much. See you next week.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. Deep, there you go. Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.